Hello, 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 drama listeners. This is Dylan with a quick message before we get on to our phenomenal episode today with the one and only Lyanna Hunt. You've probably seen her on tour in Mamma Mia or maybe even Wicked. She was Catherine in Newsies on Broadway. Of course, she's starring in Back to the Future, the musical right now with our pal Casey Likes. We had so much fun with Lyanna. We could have continued to talk forever and ever. We get into so many wonderful stories about her experiences on the road, booking this show, being besties with Shayna Taub, marrying Larkin Bogan. And of course, we even get into some little Bachelor Nation chat at the end, which anytime, we get into Bachelor Nation, it's always fun. So enjoy this episode. And of course, if you love us and you want to support us, please consider joining our Patreon, where we are delivering bonus episodes, close friends, Instagram story content. And we might even have some surprises coming up for our big annual anniversary that comes around in November. So thank you to everyone for listening, and let's get on with the show.
Press play, curtain up and now we're in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
Pop culture.
love.
And life.
I'm Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, I have real drama to share with you today.
Okay, that's good because as I was doing the intro, I had the giggles for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh my
But
God.
so we'll bounce each other out here with this real drama and my odd giggle fit, but please go on.
There's nothing better than having the giggles. It makes everyone around you happier too, I think.
The best is when the best and worst is when you're in an environment where you're truly supposed to be quiet and you can't laugh. It almost makes the thing you're laughing at even funnier. But
Oh,
anyway,
definitely.
tell me
Definitely.
what this real drama is.
Okay, so we have a lot of listeners in Ohio, as you know, that's where we're from, and I live in Columbus, and maybe our guest has toured through Columbus before, so maybe we'll have to talk about it. But there's real drama here. Our flagship gay bars, Union and Access, it has recently been revealed that they are owned, which I think a lot of people knew they were owned by like a group, like a restaurant group, but it turns out that the actual owners are these Republican donors who would have been donating money to like very viciously conservative anti-LGBTQ candidates and causes. And so basically they're profiting off of the queers, taking the money and then donating it to things that are taking away our rights. It's very upsetting. And
Oh my
it
God.
honestly, it feels like a villain storyline from like a movie or something. They're truly like upcharging door prices to see drag shows. And they've changed the entire menu. They've changed like the way that the environment is in general. And I had heard like last fall that they were changing it to be ally bars. It was just like queers are welcome there. But we have such limited spaces to begin with. And these are institutions here in Columbus. So it's very disappointing that this has all happened. And it all came about when they unceremoniously fired one of the managers, who then was like a whistleblower and posted the receipts of the donations and all this stuff online.
This is so fucked up.
I know.
I'm pissed. I hate this so much. What do we do? Well, I guess we can go to District West in Columbus instead, but still, that doesn't like solve the Union and Access problem, which, as you said, are the landmark LGBTQ plus bars. I mean, those were the first gay bars and clubs we went to as youths over
It's the
21.
bars that anyone, yeah, well, of course, for anyone who, knows Nina West from Drag Race, that those were her home bars. I think that my biggest fear is that people will boycott those venues and then they won't make money and then they will have to close down. I think that what we need to do is put pressure on the owners, maybe try and get them to make sizable donations to good causes, or hopefully they'll like hear all the noise and they'll just sell them to actual ally or queer identifying owners. But it's very upsetting. If you're in Columbus, if you know anything about this, check out the Columbus Dispatch article, check out the Union and Access comment section on the posts that they did trying to justify the donations, which is very strange. It's certainly something that our community should come together to figure out. But that's what we're good at. Stonewall was the start of a huge revolution, and now the Union and Access boom will happen.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, Dylan, I'm glad you're bringing attention to this
That's
because
right. I'm an
that's what we need
ambassador.
to do. You are an ambassador and
It
it's your local bars too. So
is.
you want everyone to succeed and have places where they can go and feel safe and have fun.
Which is, how I feel about going to the theater in
I
general.
know. I
And so that's
know.
why we're lucky to have spaces like that. And That's why I'm excited we have this podcast and this outlet to talk about theater, specifically talk with incredible guests, one of whom is in a Broadway show right now.
Yes, a positive, fun summer blockbuster smash of a musical.
Yes,
which brand new on Broadway.
I can't believe we haven't seen it yet.
Well, I know. That's because I've been waiting to see it when you're in town with me.
I know.
It would feel wrong to go without you.
TBD when I return. But when we do, I'll be excited to see our guest today, who I'm going to read you in all about her. And Connor, I realized I checked through my old playbill collection. We saw her in Newsies.
Love.
We'll get into it all.
Yeah.
Our guest today is a bona fide Broadway star. You can currently go back to the Winter Garden Theater to see her shine as Lorraine Baines in the original Broadway cast of Back to the Future, the musical. She is no stranger to the Winter Garden, having previously starred as Sophie in Mamma Mia on Broadway, having debuted in that role on the tour beforehand. New York City audiences and Connor and I will also know her from her time as Catherine Plummer, née Pulitzer, in Newsies on Broadway. Spoiler alert, she also toured the nation as Nessa Rose in Wicked and Margot in Bright Star, as well as appeared in the world's premiere of the Devil Wears Prada musical in Chicago. Regionally, she recreated the role of Jessie Randolph in Clint Black's new musical, Looking for Christmas, at the Old Globe. She was in the Muni's centennial production of Meet Me in St. Louis as Rose and Noel Coward's Private Lives at the Riverside Theater. She's a UCB girly and is part of the group Shiz Broadway Meets Sketch Comedy. Television fans will recognize this gorgeous gal from HBO's The Undoing and Ghosts of Christmas Always on Hallmark. Our guest is everything. Please welcome to drama, Leanna Hunt.
Oh my gosh. Hi. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Welcome to drama. How are you? Are you well?
Oh my gosh. I am well. I'm well. I'm in the middle of an 8-show week over at Back to the Future. I'm so happy to be here talking to the two of you. I'm well. Are you both well?
Oh, first of all, I'm so excited that all is good. Yeah, I'm well. Aside from the drama that I mentioned at the beginning, all is well otherwise.
Yeah.
I know. Mm-hmm. Same. I love fall in New York, so I'm excited that it... Well, once this heat wave passes...
I mean, it's literally 95 degrees, but any day now...
Oh my gosh, Dylan, there's nothing Dylan, worse than that back sweat. Oh my God.
Oh, I had back sweat. I had underboob sweat.
Everywhere.
Oh my God.
I have knee sweat currently, back of my knees.
When you sit down on a seat and you stick to the chair or whatever it is.
Yeah. Hit me.
Oh my God. Well, hopefully fall arrives soon because... It's such a brief, the shortest season.
I know. Always. And the best season in New York, frankly.
Uh-huh. Oh my God. It's truly like, I feel like Meg Ryan in the Upper West Side when it's fall,
oh,
you know?
Oh,
it's
gosh. So romantic. So witchy. It's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love
How
it.
How long have you lived in New York?
Approximately 1 million years. No, I went to NYU, actually. And so I have lived here since... drum roll, the fall of 2005.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I've been here forever. I know.
Now,
I know.
Did you stay there during the global pandemic quarantine shutdown scenario?
No. We took a brief hiatus, okay. My husband and I. We were here for the very beginning, and then we actually drove south and lived with his family in Charleston, South Carolina for a few months.
It's kind of cool.
Then we packed up the car and we drove up north to Vermont, where I'm from, and lived with my family for a few months, and then made our epic return, I think, September 2020.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you took a little summer vacation. I love that you were equal opportunity with each set of in-laws.
You know? You must be. You must
be. No one got jealous then.
Now, I did watch Southern Charm on Bravo, which takes place in Charleston, and they were up and rearing during 2020 anyway, so I feel like that might have been kind of fun.
It was not fun because we were coming from the darkest place on earth at the scariest moment in time. In our lifetimes. And we arrived, you know, masks on. Ugh. We were hunkered down, ready to quarantine. And everyone was like, hey, y'all, come on out. We were like, no, you don't understand. It's coming here too.
Yeah.
So it was a little weird transition. But once we settled, it was great and beautiful. Oh my gosh. We were, you know, by the water and very lucky to be with family. So
that's amazing.
That's nice.
Wait, so 2005, I'm trying to think what that Broadway season was when you were, oh that was probably gosh. Like Jersey Boys, maybe Color Purple the first time around.
Like, when was Little Women?
I think that was around then. I think Spamalot would have been there the first time.
Yeah. Oh.
When you were at NYU, I know that you weren't like encouraged to audition when you were at NYU, right?
Right.
Is that what I've heard? Okay.
Yes.
Would you sneak away and see matinees or anything during the week?
Oh yeah. We saw shows all the time. all the time. All of our friends. I do remember seeing Sweet Charity.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
The Applegate production.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm.
The Applegate. Oh, iconic.
Yeah. Dembois. I think I saw Dembois.
Oh, you saw Dembois.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, my brain.
Because Christina like fell into the pit or something like that.
Oh gosh, is that what happened?
Yes.
Oh,
she broke her foot or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then Charlotte Dembois stepped in.
Truly wild. It was a wild time to be in New York in general and be a kid in New York City.
You grew up in Vermont, right?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. That's every time I hear Vermont, I think of In Scandal. So they always talk about like jam in Vermont, you know?
Oh my gosh. That's so
they
funny.
Did. Was it jam in Vermont?
That sounds right. That sounds, yeah. That sounds right. Maple syrup.
Was that your upbringing, Leanna?
Pretty much. No, I'm from a small town, Mooresville, Vermont. Yeah. Not a lot of theater people in my, you know, immediate vicinity. We lived across from a farm.
Wow.
I have made maple syrup in my lifetime.
Is that where you tap the tree?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Just tap, tap, tap for some sap into maple sugar. Lots of snow, lots of winter sports. You know, within Vermont, I found my theater community as a kid, which was helpful for someone who wasn't really into the outdoors of it all so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess we're on that topic, so we should jump right into your Ring of Keys moment.
Well, we borrow the term from the musical Fun Home because we like to think of this moment as an impactful, powerful moment of recognition when perhaps you are participating in an artistic experience or just watching something or consuming it, and this light switch went off when you realized, oh my God, I love this so much. I need to be a part of it. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment, whether it be in the maple syrup making tree moments in Vermont or even as recently as last year?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So many of those moments along the way, honestly. And whenever I get asked, you know, when I knew that I wanted to do this, I always have a hard time answering because for me, it really does go back as far as I can remember. Kind of against all the odds, no one in my family is in the arts at all. Like I said, I'm from a really small town, not a lot of theater people. So I think, you know, when I think back, for me, it definitely started probably with Disney movie musicals.
Of course.
Fell in love with all the princesses, you know, performed Belle in my house, a little basket of books, did Ariel in the neighbor's pool. But then I was really lucky. My mom had lived in New York for a time in her life. And so she always loved the city and loved the arts and theater. So she took me to see my first Broadway show, Beauty and the Beast, when I was a little girl. And that obviously blew my mind. But then also the ones that really stick out for me are Les Mis. I remember the first time I saw Les Mis on Broadway and just absolutely fell in love with Eponine. On my own, that was a big Ring of Keys moment for me. I was like, I wanted to transport myself onto the stage and be her. And then also, I vividly remember seeing the production of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, starring Kristen Chenoweth, Anthony Rapp, Roger Bart, of course. And that show, I just loved it so much. I fell in love with Kristen Chenoweth and that song, Philosophy.
Of course.
That was definitely a big moment for me. I came back to our middle school and was like, we're going to all my friends. I was like, we're going to put on You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. The drama of it all was I was a brunette and my best friend was a blonde. And so I, of course, cast myself as Sally and her as Lucy, which she became wise to within a matter of time. Uh-huh. Needless to say, the production didn't end up happening, but I just,
drama.
I know, drama. But it just, I fell in love with it. I loved that cast recording. It was so many little moments along the way for me. I remember I saw Annie Get Your Gun with Bernadette Peters. And then it was that was the moment. And then being a part of community theater, I did a production of Gypsy. It's still one of my favorite musicals of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Wanted to be Louise and love the score. So yeah, so many moments along the way, really.
That's so special.
Yeah, it sounds really like you're a true lover of the theater.
Oh yes, I really am. It's it's funny though, you know, because growing up where I did, like I said, I was kind of, I felt like the only one at my school, in my hometown. So I sort of had this limited access and knowledge where I saw what I saw and then I loved it, but I didn't know everything, you know? So I, once I found a theater community within Vermont, actually one of my best friends was Shayna Taub is, yes, we met doing a production of Annie when we were, I was 8, she was like 6 years old, and she was amazing to me for so many reasons, but she had all this knowledge about the world of theater and musicals. And she kind of like guided me along the way and was like, you have to go to this theater camp, Stage Door Manor.
Oh, there it is. I've heard of that one.
So of course I was like, Mom. And so I will say when I got to Stage Door Manor, I felt again a little out of place because I was like, whoa, okay, everyone is so far ahead of me. I only know like the things I know because I saw them and have access to them. But it was sort of a crash course knowledge. And I really felt like I started to find my people and I understood like, oh, there's more of me out there.
That's so cute. We were just talking to Dana Steingold about Stage Door. Do you know Dana?
I met Dana at Stage Door and we both went to NYU.
Oh my God, of course. Oh my God.
A year or two ahead of me at NYU. But oh my gosh, she was an icon at Stage Door and at NYU.
Oh yeah.
And we were all sort of in a friend group from Stage Door. Me and Shayna and Dana and Skylar Astin and Jeff Ward, our friend. It was just like, there was such a big community that had done the transition from Stage Door to NYU. So that was really fun to show up at NYU with that community.
I'm sure it helps.
It helps.
You know, it's such a big school and city, and
you know, like I always knew I wanted to go to school in New York City, but it was still a huge transition from Vermont. So having that group, you know, welcome week was such a relief.
God, I'm feeling this like these like back to school jitters.
Oh my God, me too.
I can like, we're talking about fall and like I can like picture, you know, you all arriving on campus
just, like,
and going to like an involvement fair.
Oh, absolutely. A slight chill in the air, just stumbling around Union Square, truly lost.
Yes. Now, so, okay, because it's like the campus sort of surrounds that park.
Yeah, Washington Square Park.
Washington Square Park.
Dylan goes, that park.
That little grassy knoll.
I lived in New York for like most of my 20s, but yet there's certain things that just have left my consciousness.
Oh, I understand. Well, me too. And I'm still here. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that park.
That park. Uh-huh. Yes.
That's so funny. So at NYU, did you get to play any fun roles? Like, what was that experience like for you?
Oh my gosh. So I was in Cap 21, as was Dana.
Is that still a thing?
No. Well, it's migrated. I think it's a part of Molloy College now.
Oh, okay.
And there's a new musical theater studio within NYU that I think is called the Broadway Studio.
Oh.
You know, rightly so.
Yeah. Easy to remember.
Yeah, sure. Broadway. So I went to Cap 21 and I got to play Catherine in Pippin.
Ugh.
Actually opposite my husband, Larkin Bogan. And then actually the next year we were Bobby and Hope and You're in Town at Cap 21.
Wait, were you guys? LOL. Wait, okay. I need some like context here. So were the two of you a thing back then?
No.
Or did you fall in love while, you know, singing about the privilege to yearn?
Here's what's funny. We played opposite each other twice. We had classes together, but we never dated in school. We never had a thing. We were with other people in the shows with us. We were dating other people in the cast.
Showmances.
Yeah. And never dated in school. And then after we both graduated, I was on tour with Mamma Mia and I was on like a 1 week little hiatus from the tour and we were both single at the time and we reconnected and started dating long distance and we're long distance for like 2.5 years and we've been together ever since. I think it's like 13 years now.
Oh my God, congrats. That's
Thanks.
No small feat. Wait, did he always have that gorgeous mop of hair?
Yes. And it's still gorgeous, but you really should have seen it then. He was just really letting it grow.
Uh-huh.
He also did hair on Broadway and they just encouraged him to let it get as big as possible. I'm telling you, it was literally like,
was he in like the Starshine cast, like the second round that went, do you remember?
Yes,
with
Annalie
and all the
yes,
okay. I
but, thought so. And then he did the tour as well and then came back to Broadway with their like Summer of Love,
right?
You know, tour.
When they went to the St. James, right? They like came back to St. James. You guys doing You're in Town at this point in college, It was new at the time. That was like freshly just probably closed on Broadway. And then you guys got to do it.
Yeah. And I was obsessed. I mean, we all were. I was so excited.
It's so brilliant.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Going back, because I realized we glazed over Beauty and the Beast for a second.
Oh, sure.
That was also Connor and I's first Broadway musical, but we didn't see it until this, like, the month it closed. We saw Annalise Vanderpool from That's So Raven.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember who your Belle was?
I don't. And I have the playbill somewhere because I've kept every playbill I've ever,
You're acquired. A true theater kid, Leanne.
I have, like, plastic containers under my current bed and my childhood bed just with stacks of playbills. Which
relatable.
Yeah, and I remember I went through them all while I was home in the pandemic while my mom was like, you got to clear some of this out. I can't remember. I have to find it and find out. But I did discover so many hidden gems. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I saw this person in this show who I now know or is now like a huge Broadway star, but I saw them in the ensemble. There were so many wonderful moments like that.
That's so cool. Well, that's so funny. It's like you mentioned that. Like, I didn't realize that we had seen you in Newsies, back when Connor and I went.
Know.
So were you the closing Catherine?
Yes. Yes, I was.
And it was the best cast, though. Yeah. I mean, I remember just feeling so lucky. You and
Corey you Kahn, and me both.
I mean, the whole crew.
Yeah. I just loved that experience so much. Yeah, I loved every bit of it. It was truly a dream.
It's crazy, too. I remember, like, being outside afterwards. And I mean, it was a fully sold out show. Like, the show was doing so well. There's a part of me that's like, Disney really, they wanted to end on a high with that one. Because I feel like it could have kept running.
I think so. It was very bittersweet. I remember when we got the word that we were closing, like, at half hour before a show. And we were truly, truly kind of shocked. It was definitely bittersweet. Because we were like, but look, But then that's what was meant to be, I guess. And then they launched a tour that was great. So I'm really grateful for the time I had. I was in it for a year understudying Kara Lindsay. And then I took over for her and got to do, like, the last 6 months of the run. So that was, it was really great and really special.
And that fandom, I mean, it's rare to see, maybe Beetlejuice is the closest example to something since that I can think of. But the fansies, my God.
Yeah. The fansies. I mean, we were lucky.
Because it's the young fans that are just, I mean, fanatic is the word. I mean, they just live and breathe it. And it's so informative for their, it's their community, I think, that, like, it's their stage door. They find friendships and they can share that love. And it's so lucky that we have, like, social media and stuff that they can connect on it. But,
well, yeah, it's so different. I always think back to when I was a theater kid. And the access that, kids have to Broadway now is completely different. Like, if Newsies had been running on Broadway when I was a kid and we had the access that kids do now, I mean, I would have been at the seizure as much as possible as well. That would have been me.
That's adorable.
Now, going back, you mentioned Mamma Mia. So you toured Mamma Mia and then that was your Broadway debut, right? Playing Sophie.
Yeah.
I love that show.
I love that show too. Oh my God. There was like a period of time after I left, because I did the tour for a year and a half and then I did Broadway for a year and a half. And there was definitely a chunk of time when I left the show that I was like, I can never listen to ABBA again. But oh man, that has passed. And now I just truly, anytime ABBA comes on, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love it. I love the show. Every cast that I was a part of there was like a family. It was just such a special introduction to this industry. It was my first time really working as a professional. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's the best job ever.
In my head, it's like, okay, so you grew up this lover of the arts. You were seeing Broadway shows. Yeah. You go to school for it. You did stage door. And then you finally get to make your Broadway debut. Was it what you thought it would be?
Yes and no. I went to NYU. I found out I had auditioned for the tour of Mamma Mia in like fall semester of my senior year, because I had started freelancing with an agency, and I found out I got it. And then it was just this whirlwind of events where I found out I could graduate a semester early with credits from high school. So I graduated in December, left for the tour in January 21. And that was so interesting, being 21 and just jumping into leading a national tour. And so I think that for me was really learning that, yes, this is what I've always dreamed of, and it's a job. I had never done 8 shows a week before. So I think that was a big learning curve of, this is the reality of the schedule and life that you've always wanted, but it is hard and it's a job. So I think by the time I got to Broadway, I had really learned those lessons about what this looks like as a life and a job. So by the time I got to Broadway, it was fully like, this is a dream come true.
Yeah. And Larkin, you had gotten together during that tour.
Yes.
So he was in your life again at that point too. So you had a little bit of support then when you got to the city, I suppose.
Well, what's so funny is when I was on tour in Mamma Mia, he was on Broadway in Hair. And then I came to Broadway with Mamma Mia and he did the tour of Hair. And of course, had the same opening night. Like my Broadway debut was his opening night on tour.
That's just the way it goes, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So you like moved into his apartment when he leaves. And...
So funny. Yeah. So when we did finally have each other in the city together, it was like, oh, this is nice.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Now, who was your Donna on tour?
Oh my gosh. Michelle Dawson, who is a fellow Vermonter. So wild. Oh. And we found out that we had studied with the same voice teacher, Bill Reed from Vermont. That was amazing. We found out like the first week of rehearsals, we were both from Vermont and it was just like instant chemistry. I love her so much. Yeah. We became fast friends and I love her so much.
And then who was your Donna on Broadway?
Oh my God. The fabulous Lisa Brescia.
I knew you were going to say that.
Really?
Yeah. I love her so much.
I love her too. She actually just came to see Back to the Future and I just love her so much. And then I ended up taking her husband, Craig Carnelia's famous acting class in the city. And oh my God, for several years and just loved that so much. Loved all the people in that class so much.
Oh, that's so cool. And then, you know, now you're back at the Winter Garden. Like, that's just special. Yeah. Now, you know, that girl that you were when you made that Broadway debut, what is it like now being back walking the halls?
It is really wild. My whole first week, I was just like, I was flooded with this nostalgia, but also, you know, like what you said, this awareness of who I am now compared to who I was then, how much I've grown. Oh my gosh. It just feels really full circle and special because I was 23 when I made my Broadway debut and I've learned a lot. I've grown up a lot, but it does feel like home in a way.
Is it the same dressing room?
I'm directly above.
Okay, cool. So you moved up in the
world. Yes. Yeah. Casey is in my old dressing room, which is so fun because he's 21 and I love, you know, popping in and seeing what he's done with space. It's gorge.
Of course.
And I'm directly above him where Sutton Foster was for Music Man. So that in and of itself is, you know, I'm geeking out there over that because of course I was obsessed with Sutton Foster all throughout my childhood.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Little Women, right? I love that of the Sutton credits, that's the one you go for when you.
Right. It's like what was, you know, what was happening on Broadway when I was a kid? I mean, obviously Millie, but Young Frankenstein. I mean, I was obsessed. Yes, I still am. I mean, my gosh.
Drowsy Chaperone. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Beth Level.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which, okay, wait, not to switch from Back to the Future too much, but, and we'll come back to it in a second, but Beth Level, Devil Wears Prada, Shayna, what can you say about the Devil Wears Prada musical? You know, a fun little tease about it from your experience with it.
Oh my gosh. That was last summer. I mean, it was a wild ride. I had been with it since the very, very beginning. I think the very first reading, which was in 2019. So, okay. I mean, what I'll say is it was really amazing to be. It was my first time being a part of something from the very beginning. So it was such a fabulous experience to witness, you know, how a Broadway musical is developed and created. And obviously it was so cool to be in a professional room with Shayna and see her, you know, flourish and thrive and, you know, work with Elton John. And he's
no big deal.
He adores her. So I was, you know, dying with friend pride over that. We had a blast last summer in Chicago. It was so much fun. It was a totally different experience for me. You know, I was like dancing in stilettos and it was wild. But, you know, so many cool moments. To work with Beth Level was a dream. I'm a huge fan of hers. And she just exceeded all expectations, hopes, dreams on every level.
Oh, I imagine. Has she ever been in Mamma Mia? I'm like all of a sudden in my head. Yes. I thought so.
She was right before me. And my friend from NYU, Elise Allen Lewis, was Sophie. Yes. And she was Donna. And then we came in as the next cast.
Elise Allen Lewis, wife to Eric
Wayne. Yes. And they were Sophie and Skye. That's how they met.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I know.
I love all these in-show romances. It's so fun.
It's so sweet.
We got to get another reunion for you and Larkin to do something on stage together.
Right? It's time.
Since college,
yes,
right?
It has. Okay. We did like Valentine's Day at 54 Below this past winter, and we sang Love Song from Pippin. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to be on stage with you. Me too. Me too.
Did you get to see the revival of Pippin when it was on Broadway?
I did. I loved it so much. I love that show.
It's so good. It should, Mamma Mia and Pippin should always be running. I agree. back to the future.
Yeah.
So I think it was, you know, a thrilling moment when I saw your name on the cast list, because she's coming back to Broadway. Yeah. What has this experience been like? You know, it's a huge smash over on the West End. And now here we go with Broadway.
Here we go. Here we are. It's been, it's been a dream. I got the audition when I was in Devil Wears Prada. We were closing the show and I did a rewatch of the film because it had been years since I had seen it, because I was going to have to fly back early to audition for it. So it was sort of this moment of like, okay, is this right? Is this a fit? Do I change my flights? And as soon as I saw the film and kind of re-fell in love with the role of Lorraine Baines, I was like, yes.
That's Leah Thompson, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I think I was in like 5 different times in the audition room over a few months. And then when I got the call, I mean, it felt so right. I love this role. I love John Rando. I'm a huge fan of his.
You're in town.
I know. Are you kidding? Yeah. I'm like, yeah. it just felt really right. And I'm so thankful. It's a dream. I love the cast. I love the company, the team, and the theater, obviously, and the role. I'm having a blast. I really am.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah.
It looks like the most fun. And you get to sing such a fun song in the show too. Is it called something about?
Yeah. Something About That Boy.
That Boy.
And,
and
Pretty Baby. I love both the songs I get to sing so much. I really love them.
I haven't seen the show yet, but they're 50s influenced, right?
Yeah. Like, so we're in the 1980s and the 1950s. So both of those songs take place in the 1950s and feel very, Pretty Baby is really fun. It feels like a 1950s song you might've heard on the radio, but Something About That Boy is like big musical theater act 1 finale. I love it.
Fun. I heard the car is incredible.
Okay, the car is spectacular. You know, actually, to tie it back, speaking of Beauty and the Beast, I just think that our car moment is such Broadway magic. It reminds me of when I saw Beauty and the Beast, and the Beast does that epic Broadway magic transformation. And I was like, that's it. Like, that's the moment. That's the car in our show. When you see what it does, it's like, that's it. It's Broadway magic. It's of 2023. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's just, it gives me like little goosebumps because it's magic. And to see it live is really incredible.
Oh my God. Aww. I heard you have to see it to believe it. It's one of those special things.
You really do.
And now, how many people from the show were also in the West End production?
We have 2. So Roger Bart and hello, huge fan.
Yeah, you dropped that name
moment.
Earlier.
Yeah. I know. I'm a huge fan. My mom and I have always been a big fan of his. So that was cool to, you know, be working with him. And Hugh Coles, who plays George McFly, who I'm obsessed with, my buddy, my pal, he's so brilliant in the show. He created the role on the West End, and they brought him here because he's so fabulous. So we're really lucky to have both of them.
That's awesome. Did you get to check it out over there at all? Or
no, you know, I didn't. I went to London actually before rehearsal started, but I made the choice not to, just because I wanted to go in fresh and have no idea and just get to kind of create it and be along for the ride and not have an idea of what the musical was, just because we already have the film as a source as well. I also haven't gotten to do a show from the beginning yet. And I know this was created in the West End, but new to Broadway. So I was like, let me give myself the gift of not having any idea what this is.
That's so great. I know if I were you and I was cast in the role and I was in London going to see it, I know I'd be watching the production just thinking the whole time.
Me too.
Thinking about how to do it. Thinking about, you know, blah, 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 blah. Is the staging similar? Well, I guess
I
haven't seen it. So
yeah, from what I've heard. From what I've heard, it's pretty similar. But we were given some freedom, which I really appreciated, with John in the rehearsal room, just to kind of see where things went. And then if it worked better and it felt right, we kept it. If not, he was like, well, let's kind of, you know, ease it back towards what this is. So yes and no, I think. And some things are different for Broadway.
Ooh, fun, fun.
Yeah.
What moment in the show do you look forward to doing each night?
You know, I think about this a lot because it changes all the time. For a while, like, one number is my favorite and then it shifts. Right now, I just really love doing the act 1 finale, Something About That Boy. Mm-hmm. I love it. It just, it brings me so much joy every night. I love to sing it. It's a fun moment on stage because I'm not on stage with the whole cast a lot. And it's a moment where I get to be on stage with our entire company. And the staging is so much fun. It's chaos. There's so much happening. And I look forward to it every night.
I watched a video of the West End cast doing it at like a West End Live or something.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you're a Love Island person, but Amber, who was on Love Island, of course, played the
Rain. Oh, my gosh. I know. I've only seen the first season of Love Island, and I was obsessed, and I need to dive in deeper. But I heard, yes. I need to watch her season. I just think that's so wild and fun.
It's so funny. Yeah, I guess she's like quite the star over there in a couple of different shows. But
oh, my God, of course.
Yeah, hearing that song and like knowing your voice, like I need to see it. I need to see you doing the show. And I mean, that's the obvious choice for the Macy's Thanksgiving parade for anybody who's
oh my gosh
team out there, we'll listening, maybe the Tonys, you know, we'll get into it. It's early in the season, you know.
Oh my goodness.
I love for it sure. And of course, what is it like working with Casey? I mean, I know he did Almost Famous last year, but this is, you know, he's already booked a second show in 1 year, so
I know just rising. I know, he's so great. I mean, I love working with him. It's so fun. You know, obviously he plays my son, but most of my show, I spend pining after him, right, not knowing he's my son. So he's in a weird way, my love interest and my son.
Yeah.
Well, he's so sweet. He's so much fun. We have a great rapport and friendship. And also I just, you know, I think about myself when I was his age and working at the Winter Garden. And that's so funny. Yeah, I love him very dearly. He's great.
That's so magical. Well, congrats on Back to the Future. I've said it a few times, but I'm itching to see it. It's at the top of my list for when I return to the city. Yay. And I'm just hearing amazing things from, you know, everyone who goes to see it.
Yeah, we're truly having a blast. And I think audiences are too. We've been blessed with an amazing stage door crowd every night as well. Like, the Back to the Future fans are really showing up. They're showing up in costume.
What are we calling them? You know, we mentioned the fancies.
Is it the,
you know,
Futurinos? Futurinos?
Oh, that's, ooh, cute.
Is that what cute. It is? I don't know, but that word just popped out of my brain.
If not, we're naming them now.
Okay, great. You heard it here first. Or maybe not.
Yeah, I know. They're going to be like, we're actually the McFly something.
It's quite possible. I need to check back.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God.
Well, we're sadly wrapping up here. Mm-hmm. But before we say goodbye, we do like to end on a dose of drama. Mm-hmm. It could be something on your mind, you want to rant about, rave about, share. Mm-hmm. And I'll start because there's been only one thing on my mind for the last 2 weeks. As I binge Peaky Blinders, I am obsessed with this show, but more specifically, Cillian Murphy. I wasn't prepared to watch because of Oppenheimer, in a film in which I didn't find him to be that attractive. Mm. However, in Peaky Blinders, that's my man. Oh my God, he is so sexy, and the accent. Oh my God, it is so good. I heard the Netflix doesn't actually pay their residuals at all, so that absolutely blows, and they need to get quick to it. Yes. But if you want to go, like, buy Peaky Blinders or rent it from the library or something.
yeah, use your library card.
Use your library card to get it from there. But it's less so about the show, but more so about Cillian Murphy in it. Ooh. He is gorgeous. So just look up pictures, actually. But anyway.
Love it.
Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
I do. I'm looking at my notes and I can't believe we didn't talk about Bright Star. And my dose of drama is justice for Bright Star. In any other theater season, it would have done so much better if Hamilton had not been the juggernaut. Yeah. And you played Margot, Leanna. What was that experience like? Because that was with Carmen, right? She was
The tour? Yeah, she was on the tour. I joined the cast right as the current principal cast was leaving. So I didn't get to do it with her. However, I did get the gift of getting to watch her do it almost every night for 2 weeks while I was in rehearsals.
Amazing.
Which was worth it in and of itself. I loved the show so much. I agree with you. I think the score's so stunning. The staging is so stunning. It was a brief tour, but I met one of my best friends, Henry Gottfried, on that tour. Audrey Cardwell took over for Carmen Cusack. She was absolutely incredible. My friend Mary Page Nance. We all found each other on that tour. We had such a great time. Loved the show. Would have done it for many more months.
Yeah. Is Margot the one who sings Asheville?
Yes.
I mean, and that staging is immaculate.
My gosh, just absolutely breathtaking.
Mm-hmm. Totally took my breath away.
And then you spent some time in North Carolina after that. So
I did
in
South Carolina, yeah. But
oh,
yes.
South Carolina, oh, yeah.
That's okay.
They're all the same to me, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Being from Ohio. It's,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I did go to Asheville. The yeah, there you go. There you go. The Carolinas at large.
Right. Mm. Was Asheville what Margot dreamed of? Yeah. Like when you went, was it like, oh my God?
So Asheville was where her love was moving.
Right.
That's right. So, that's right. When you get to Asheville.
Yeah, leaving yeah, their kind of small town. So she, you know, I don't know that she was such a big fan of Asheville, but I, Leanna, am a big fan of Asheville. It's such a nice, fun, quirky little town.
Wait, that's right. I wanted to ask you just really quickly. So when you were on either Mamma Mia or
Wicked.
Or Wicked,
yeah.
Which Wicked. We didn't even talk about. Did you come mm-hmm. through Columbus at all?
I did. Yes. I came through Columbus with Mamma Mia. I remember it well.
Yay.
Yes. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. Yeah, I remember it well. We did a lot of time in Ohio, actually, on the Mamma Mia tour. We did, my gosh, Columbus, Toledo, Cincinnati.
Probably yeah. Cleveland at some point.
Yes, we did Cleveland as
well. We're
from
Cleveland, so maybe we saw you there. Yeah, because every time I came to Cleveland, some relative would always be like, you guys need to see Mamma Mia. And we'd be like, of course we do. You know?
Oh my goodness. Yes, loved it. We were in Columbus in the summer, I believe. And I just remember the grass was beautiful. It was mm-hmm. a fun city.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a great festival city in the summer. There's lots of fun stuff on the weekends yeah. and stuff like that. Ah, thank you for indulging me in my little Columbus moment.
Of course.
Leanna, do you have a dose of drama?
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. So of course, let me see. I'm going to talk about reality television. So do I hate to admit? I do hate to admit that I am a huge sucker for the Bachelor franchise at large. And wow, it's giving us a bunch of gifts this year. So it's like my trash TV is The Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise, etc. True heterosexual nightmare.
But so fun.
What I love is to watch, and then I immediately follow up with my favorite Bachelor podcast, Love to See It, by two very smart, funny, witty feminists. And Emma and Claire are their names.
Are they Bachelor Nation, like,
no,
alumni?
No, they're writers. They used to work for HuffPost and journalists, and they're so smart. And I love the, like, highbrow, lowbrow combo of watching The Bachelor and then getting their, like, funny, smart feminist commentary takedown of, you know, breakdown of uh-huh. everything that happens. And then I have my, like, group chat, which Shayna is a part of smart, you know, women in the industry, and we give our, like, takes on all the trash that happens on that show and the love, you know. So I was obsessed with this season that we just had, Charity Lawson. She yes. was one of our,
right.
oh my
She's
God,
beautiful.
Beautiful and truly one of the best bachelorettes in my opinion. And I do think maybe, just maybe, it was love. Like, we found love on The Bachelorette once again, her and Dalton. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, he's gorgeous too.
They're both gorgeous. It did feel like a true love story, which is all we want. It's truly all yes. we want from that franchise. And then,
will you watch? Are you pleased with who they cast as The Bachelor?
Okay. So, yeah. Yeah, Joey from her season.
Okay.
He's dreamy. I think he's a lovely guy. I'm definitely going to watch. But let me tell you what I'm even more excited for. Have you heard? They're doing The Golden Bachelor.
Yes.
I have heard. Now, I was a Bachelor Nation girlina for 10 years. And then I kind of just grew tired of it. So I decided to move on.
Of course.
But The Golden Batch might be drawing me back in because it looks so good.
I mean, so good. Like, give me that. Give me a cast of, like, women over 65. Give me this sweet older man who seems like such a gem. I don't know how they found this man. I am so excited for Golden Bachelor. I cannot wait to see.
It's this fall, right?
Yeah.
It's been kicking around for years, so I'm excited.
Truly, how many times have we seen, you know, whilst watching The Bachelor, you know, please sign up for our Golden Bachelor for years. Uh-huh. They're just dangling. And
who is hosting it?
I think it's Jesse Palmer. I think it's the same host who they have as they have right now.
I'm still of the Harrison era.
Oh,
so I need
get
smart to this. He blew it.
Yeah, he blew it. We're out. He never thrilled me to begin with. So bye-bye, Chris Harrison. And
agreed. I know. I liked when they had Tayshia.
Yes,
and
Caitlin. Oh, mm-hmm. I loved that combination. But I don't hate Jesse Palmer. I think what Jesse Palmer gives me is, like, a little bit more of, like, a wink, wink. I'm in on the joke, which I appreciate. Okay. Chris Harrison was, you know, the tone wasn't it for me. The nothing.
Cheese ball.
None of it was it for me. So,
agree.
Jesse Palmer's giving me something that I enjoy, though. I appreciate him.
Oh, I love that.
I really quickly, I want to go around the circle because you mentioned that you think Charity is one of the best bachelorettes ever. Who is your favorite bachelorette of all time? And Connor, you can also think of
that. Okay. One. Well, Allie Fedotowsky holds a special place in my heart. I loved Allie. And I did love her with both Roberto and Chris, her final two. Mm-hmm. You can tell this is like in my brain forever and ever.
Yeah.
But Caitlyn's season was so iconic and I love Caitlyn Bristowe. So
mine is Caitlyn Bristowe as well. Yeah. I mean, just icon. I love her. I love her. I was so happy they went with her. She's my favorite bachelorette. Although Hannah Brown was an unexpected treat. Some real gems that came out of that season. But for me, it's Caitlyn forever. Yeah.
And Tyler Cameron is the gift that keeps on giving.
The gift that keeps on giving. I will welcome him onto my screen anytime.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Anytime he posts a fitness video, someone in our friend group sends it.
Any show, he wants to hop into. It's okay.
Yeah. I really remember during Rachel Lindsay's being blown away.
Oh,
by her.
My gosh. Of course.
I don't remember how it ended or if I liked. I mean, she's still with.
Yes, Brian.
You know, so I guess it all went well. But I will say, I was a Claire Crawley quiet fan before she ultimately took the moniker of bachelorette on.
Oh, wow.
And I think she's cuckoo bananas. In fact, Connor is blocked by her on Instagram.
But I am. But all I did was, okay.
Talk about drama. Before, so
I know, we're totally in like Bachelor Nation talk now. But I have told this story before years ago on the pod, but it was before you could like DM things to people and meme culture was big, and my friend Mary and I were like obsessed with the idea that we were like Michelle Money and Claire Crawley. Like that was like our friendship was like and so all we would do was like tag each other in their posts and be like, OMG, this is so us.
Okay.
And Claire blocked me.
Oh, okay.
She like thought I was being rude or whatever, but we were just being, like, fun. Like, we were like, oh my God, we're Claire and Michelle. But
here's what I'll say. I think the internet wasn't kind to Claire after her season, and I blame producers for that. So maybe she was a little sensitive. And
yeah,
totally.
But her season was wild. Yeah. Was in the pandemic and the,
With Tayshia.
She left with what's his name, and she found her love. Dale. And I think she's engaged now, or married, or pregnant. Things are going well for Claire
One
now.
Of those, yeah.
One of those.
I saw Dale in real life recently on the streets of New York.
No.
He's a sight to behold, I have to be honest.
I mean, the eyes, the height. I mean, he's gorgeous.
Yeah,
I get it.
Listen, we need to have you on a separate episode to talk all about.
I know.
This has been so much fun, Leanna. You are such a doll and so incredibly talented. Thank you for giving us your time today. We cannot wait to see Back to the Future, hopefully this fall.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. I would stay on all day and chat reality TV.
Oh my God.
Do let me know when you come I look forward to seeing you then.
Thank you. And of course, everyone should follow you on Twitter and Instagram at Leanna Marie Hunt.
Yes.
And follow us at the Drama Podcast, Connor at Connor McDowell, me at Dylan McDowell. Leanna, have a great second half of your H Show week.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.